This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I began my last khutbah speaking about the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he predicts the future. And he tells us, يُوشَكْ أَن تُدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تُدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَىٰ قُصْعَتِهَا. He said that perhaps there will come a day where the nations will call one another against you, just as you invite others to eat from your plate. And we spoke about how, subhanAllah, this hadith is something we have seen play out in our history. We've seen the Sykes-Picot Agreement, where the English and the French and the Russians sat down on a map, and they carved out the Muslim world, and they drew the borders that we abide by today, and they said the British will have this land, and the French will have that land, and the Russians will have that land. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. I mentioned that there's even a painting in the British Museum of different European monarchs standing in front of a plate of a turkey, a cooked turkey, but the head of the turkey is the head of the Ottoman Sultan, the Khalifa of the Muslims. And they're talking about how they're going to eat from this plate and which part they like to eat the most. The Prophet ﷺ speaking about this, the companions were amazed and they said, "Oh, min qillatin yawma idhin ya Rasulullah." They said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, is this going to happen to us because we are few in number? Because we're being persecuted, because there's so few of us?" He said, "Qala bal antum yawma idhin kathir." He said, "No, rather you are many on that day. But you are like the scum upon the sea. You're not bringing value." The companions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَلِيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ صُدُورِ عَدُوِّكُمْ وَالْمَهَابَةَ مِنْكُمْ. And that God is going to remove from the hearts of your enemies fear of you. Meaning once upon a time they feared you, but today they will not fear you anymore. وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمُ الْوَهَمُ. And Allah will put in your hearts al-wahm, the weakness. And the companions did not understand what the Prophet meant when he said this. What do you mean we will have the weakness? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-wahm, the weakness is hubb ad-dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. He said, it is to love this dunya, this temporary world, and it is to hate death. And we spoke in the last khutbah, I began with the same hadith, but I focused on the latter part of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Karahiyat al-maut, the hatred of death. And we spoke about how cowardice is not the characteristic of the believer, to be a coward. But there's another aspect to this. The Prophet said, of the weakness, the reason we're going to be in this situation. The reason why there are 2 billion Muslims who cannot even give 2 million Muslims a cup of water to drink. Why do we have this weakness that we are seeing in front of our eyes? The Prophet gives you the root causes. We can sit and talk about the external reasons of why the Muslim Ummah has become weak. We can talk about education levels, literary levels, we can talk about armies and how they are trained and funded or not trained and not funded and all these different things. But the root of it is what the Prophet is telling you in this hadith. The root of our problems is this wahan, this weakness. And this weakness is two things. Hubb ad-dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. The overwhelming love of the dunya and the hatred of death. And so in the last khutbah we talked about the hatred of death aspect. Being a coward. But in this khutbah, I want to talk about the first aspect, the love of the dunya. Why do we have this love of the dunya? Because it also contributes to being a coward, when we love the dunya too much. What is it that makes people say, well, I'm not going to talk about these issues because I'm afraid I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to talk about Gaza because I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm not going to talk about this because it's going to limit my dunya, my job prospects, my ability to make money. تُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Allah says you love wealth with an immense love, an overwhelming love. And we have to understand that this is not an individual flaw. The entire ummah suffers when we love the dunya more than the akhirah. The entire ummah suffers when we love this world more than the The entire ummah suffers when we care more about our paycheck than we do about our salah. The entire ummah suffers when we care more about our wealth and possessions than we do about what we're going to say when we stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what removes the fear of you, the respect of you from the hearts of others. What allows them to persecute us and oppress us and harm the Muslims, because we've fallen into this major weakness. The love of the dunya and the hatred of death. So we have to remedy the roots if we want real results and real change. And we remedy that root by going back to the Qur'an and Sunnah. We break this mold by looking to the Qur'an and Sunnah. And one of the most fundamental things that our Prophet ﷺ taught was the nature of the dunya and our relationship to it. The Prophet ﷺ came to people in Quraysh. What did they say? وَقَالُوا مَا هِيَ إِلَّا حَيَاتُنَا الدُّنْيَا نَمُوتُ وَنَحْيَا وَمَا يُهْلِكُنَا إِلَّا الدَّهْرِ. They said their belief system was, and here illa hayatuna dunya. We only have this one life. We only have the life of this dunya. We have this world, and nothing will destroy us except time. Eventually everyone will die. And that's it. You have this life, and there's nothing beyond it. And perhaps Muslims don't believe this. If we put a microphone in the face of every, you know, Muslim out there, and we say, do you believe there's only the dunya and that's it, there's nothing after the dunya? They will all say no. We believe there's an akhirah. But sometimes we believe it in our actions, not necessarily in our words. What is it that causes young men and women to be seduced into a lifestyle that is haram? What is it that convinces them to use drugs or to go clubbing? What is it that causes them to smoke or to enter haram relationships? It is the da'wah of kufr. It is, you only live once. Are you really going to live your whole life and you're not even going to try this? You're not even going to, you know, see what it feels like? This is the da'wah of kufr. You only have one dunya. You only have one chance. It's a philosophy of disbelief to be exclusively focused on the dunya. That all that exists is this world. And so when we act like this is true, even if we don't say it with our tongues, we're following the philosophy of disbelief. It's not by chance that the last verse that was revealed to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was to tell us to focus on the next life. وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمًا تُرْجَعُونَ فِيهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ ثُمَّ تُوَفَّى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا كَسَبَتْ وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and fear the day, be conscious of the day that you will return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then every soul will be compensated for what it has earned, and they will not be treated unjustly. This world, this dunya, it is faniya. It is fading. It is vanishing. It's like a fleeting memory. Everyone here in this room today, you can sit back and think about your memories in the past. If you're in your 60s, you can think about your memories in your 40s. If you're in your 30s, you can think about when you were a teenager. If you're a teenager, you can think about when you were a child. If you're a child, you can think about a few years ago. Everyone can think about their past memories. Now I ask you, what are the nature of those memories? You think back for the decades that you lived, you can think of just a few memories here and there, fleeting. An incident here, something that happened then. And even those memories that you think about, you can't even remember everything that happened. You only remember a few things that took place. That's the nature of the dunya. One day your life will end, and if you think back to the entirety of your life, it's just fleeting moments that vanish away. So much so that when the people are in the hellfire and they think back to the life of the dunya, they think all of it was just one day or less than a day. وَقَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِ. They say to Allah, we were on earth only for one day, or even part of a day, not even the full day. فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. They're serious about this. They tell Allah, ask the angels that count. We demand a recount. We were not on earth for 60, 70 years. We were only on earth for one day. Because it feels like that at the end. Just like when you're in your 50s and you think back to your 30s, that entire decade felt like one memory, fleeted by so quickly. And throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries to explain to you the nature of this world. He tells you that this dunya, all of it is la'ibun wa lahu. One of the verses, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. Allah says, اعلموا, know, this is a commandment. You must have knowledge about this. You must know this. Know that the life of this world is only لعب ولهو, play and amusement. لعب is playfulness that can have benefit. Like you play basketball. You benefit from it, your body becomes stronger. Lahu is amusement that has no benefit whatsoever, like things that are haram. Allah tells you, indeed this world is only play and amusement. La'ibun wa lahu. Wazina. It is outwardly beautiful. The outward aspects of it seem attractive and beautiful. Wa tafakhurun baynakum. And it is boasting against each other. It's boasting and showing off. وَتَكَاثُرْ and hoarding and gathering and hoarding wealth and children. تَفَاخُرْ is the quality of your possessions. تَكَاثُرْ is the quantity of it. So people are just showing off and competing. He has a nice car, I want to have a nice car. He has a nice house, I want to get that nice house. And it's all driven by the ego, or mostly driven by the ego. That's what this world is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you, in the same verse, He gives you an example. He says, كَمَثَلِ غَيْدٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّرُ نَبَاتَهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ حِطَامًا. He says, this dunya is like a single rainfall that makes the farmer happy. He's overwhelmed with happiness by it. But the rain that falls in that single rainfall causes a little bit of greenery to come out, and then it'll die. It'll turn yellow, and it'll turn to dust, and it'll scatter in the wind. Imagine a farmer who decides to invest everything into one single rainfall. They buy as many barrels as they can to get as many water from one single rainfall. And they decide they're going to make their entire focus on one rainfall and try to plant their plants and their crops out of one rainfall. People would say, you are stupid. In your lifetime, there's going to be hundreds of rainfalls. Why are you investing and betting only on a single rainfall? Whatever water comes down in that one rainfall, even if it's a lot of water, it's not enough. The plants will die. But that's the example of the dunya. The dunya is one rainfall compared to the thousands that will come after it. The dunya is nothing compared to everything that will come after it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, مَا الدُّنْيَا فِي الْآخِرَةِ إِلَّا كَمَا يَدْخُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَصْبَعُهُ فِي الْيَمْ فَلْيَنْظُرْ بِمَا يَرْجَعُ. He says, the example of the dunya is like a man who puts his finger in the ocean. And then the Prophet said, let him consider how much water did he take out. If you dip your finger in the ocean and bring it out, how much water is on your finger and how much water is in the ocean? The dunya is the drop and the ocean is the akhirah. It's incomparable. And this is why Allah says, وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is the pleasure of deception. It deceives you. You think it's a lot. You think it's a long time. It's nothing. It's short and it's little. The Prophet ﷺ said, تَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّنَارِ وَتَعِسَ عَبْدُ الدِّرْهَمِ. That ruined is the one who worships the dinar and the one who worships the dirham. Ta'is is the one who ruined himself. He tripped on his own feet. He took himself down. Ta'is, he ruined himself. Who? The one who worships the dinar and the dirham. And he says it is the worship because they have made it their focus. It is their life goal. It is all that they care about. They've been ruined. They've ruined themselves. And then the Prophet said, "Ta'isa wa intakas wa idha shika falintaqish." He said a phrase in Arabic that they would say at the time, that he, if he is pricked by a thorn, he will never find relief. If he's pricked by a thorn, he will never find relief. Which is very interesting. Because the person who worships money, they think the solution to their problem is money. But in reality, their problems is probably because of their unhealthy relationship to money. So every time he has a problem, he thinks, I need to get more money to solve my problem, but it only increases their problems. They become even more sad, even more depressed, even more upset. So the Prophet said, if he's pricked by a thorn, he'll never be able to remove it. What a pitiful situation this person is in. The one who doesn't have Allah, they really have nothing. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, you know, different verses, مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ فِيهَا. Whoever wants the life of this world in all of its splendor, we will give it to them. نُوَفِّي إِلَيْهِمْ. We will repay them. Anything good they do, we will give it to them in the dunya. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَ عَجَّلْنَا لَهُمْ فِيهَا. Whoever wants what is immediate, meaning the dunya, we will give it to them immediately. We'll give them the immediacy. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. And whoever is working for the next life, and they are believers, then Allah says, then that work is going to be appreciated. But here's what's powerful. After this, Allah has given you two groups here. مَنْ كَانَ يُرِيدُ الْعَاجِلَةِ. The ones who want the immediacy, they want this world, the hastening of this world, Allah will give them this world. And whoever's working for the akhirah, the second group, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will appreciate their work, we will give them the akhirah. And then he tells you, كُلَّا نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. Both of these groups, the one who wants the dunya and the one who wants the akhirah, Allah says, both of them, we will give them the dunya. نُمِدُّ هَؤُلَاءِ وَهَؤُلَاءِ مِنْ عَطَاءِ رَبِّكَ. We will extend to both groups, both categories, the gifts of your Lord. So the one who wants the dunya will get the dunya, and that's it. And the one who works for the akhirah will get the akhirah, but they'll also get the dunya. Allah will give both of them. And so the believer has the double prize. By focusing on the akhirah, Allah will give them the dunya as well. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَتِ الدُّنْيَا مَنْ كَانَتْ نِيَّتُهُ الدُّنْيَا. Whoever's niyyah, their intention is the dunya, Allah will فَرَّقَ اللَّهُ ضَيَعَكَ. Allah will make their world, their worldly affairs, all over the place. He'll scatter it. وَجَعَلَ فَقْرَهُ فِي عَيْنَيْهِ. He makes his poverty in his eyes. All that he can see is his poverty. Even if he's rich, he thinks, tomorrow I'm going to go bankrupt. Every day, the only thing he sees is poverty. وَلَمْ يَأْتِهِ الدُّنْيَا وَمْنَمْ يَأْتِهِ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَا كُتِبَ لَهُ. And he still will not gain from the dunya except that which Allah has written for him. وَمَنْ كَانَ هَمُّهُ الْآخِرَةِ. And whoever's desire and focus is the akhirah, جَمَعَ اللَّهُ شَمْلَهُ. Allah will make their affairs in order. He will bring it together. وَجَعَلَ غَنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِ. And Allah will make his richness in his heart. Whether he has a lot of possessions or moderate or small amount of possessions, he feels rich. He feels it in his heart. وَآتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِبًا. And the dunya will come to him meekly. The dunya will come to him submissively. Meaning, the other person maybe has to work 100 hours to get what the second person gets in 50 hours. Both of them have to work, yes. You're not going to get things sitting on your couch. But what the person whose focus is the dunya is, maybe has to work double as the one whose focus is the akhirah. Allah gives him the dunya easily. فأقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروه إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. When we say that حب الدنيا, the love of the dunya, is one of the weaknesses of our ummah, we also have to consider that our relationship with the dunya is not a healthy or Islamic relationship. So there are those who are focused on the dunya. It is their focus in this world. And that is a huge fault and flaw. But there's another group that thinks, in order to be away from the dunya, I must be a hermit, living alone, living in a monastery, worshipping, and that's it. Not working, not earning. And this is also the wrong understanding of how a Muslim's relationship to money should be like. Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu entered a masjid. He found people sitting in the middle of the day during the work day, they're sitting in the masjid. He said, what are you doing? They said, نَحْنُ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. We are the people who rely upon Allah. We're just going to worship and we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give us. And Umar ibn al-Khattab said, إِنَّمَا He said, قَالَ بَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُتَّكِلُونَ. He said, no, you are not. And there's different narrations. You're moochers. You're relying on others to give you. You're moochers. That's what you are. إِنَّمَا الْمُتَوَكِّلَ الَّذِي يَلْقَى حَبَّهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَيَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. He said, the one who really trusts Allah is the one who plants his seed and he trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him grow it. People think that it's righteous to not earn. If someone is religious and they're giving giving da'wah or they're going to the masjid and then they have a nice car, then everybody's like, why do they have a nice car? Why did they give it all away for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why do they even have money? They shouldn't even have any money. This is not the right way to think about money. When Ibn Hajar rahimahullah ta'ala, he was a scholar, great scholar of hadith. He used to wear nice clothes. One day a Jewish man was really poor and his clothes were in tatters. He sees Ibn Hajar, he says, why is it that people like you say that ad-dunya sijn al-mu'min wa jannat al-kafir? Why is it that people like you say that this world is the prison of the believer and it is the paradise of the disbeliever? He said, look at your clothes, they're so nice, and look at me, my clothes are torn up. So Ibn Hajar said to him, my clothes compared to what Allah will give the believer in the Akhirah, this is like a prison. And your clothes compared to what Allah will give you in the Akhirah, it is like Jannah. The mentality doesn't mean I can't have any money. And in fact, what we have to understand is that by earning money, you are doing what the Prophet ﷺ is expecting you to do. We know the story of Hakim ibn Hizam. When he just accepted Islam and the Prophet was giving gifts to those who accepted Islam. So he went and he got money from the Prophet. Then he decided to stand in line again. And he came a second time to the Prophet. He said, oh, Messenger of Allah, give me. So the Prophet gave him a second time. Then he decided, it's a good deal. He came back the third time. I'm going to get the third money from the Prophet. And he tells the Prophet, give me. And the third time, the Prophet ﷺ tells him, Ya Hakim, إِنَّ هَذَا الدُّنْيَا حُلْوَةٌ خَضِرَةٌ. Oh Hakim, this dunya, it is splendid. It is attractive. It is, you know, sweet. It's something that people want. He said, فَمَنْ أَخَذَهُ بِإِشْرَافِ النَّفْسِ بُورِكَ اللَّهُ لَهُ فِيهَا. Whoever takes it with honor in their self, meaning they're working for their money, Allah will give them barakah in it. And whoever takes the dunya without that honor, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not put barakah in it. وَالْيَدِ الْعُلْيَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْيَدِ السُّفْلَى. And the upper hand, the hand that is giving charity, the hand that is giving is better than the lower hand, the hand that is taking. And so he says, oh Hakim, don't be the person every time, you know, you're sticking out your hand for money. Work for your money, earn it. And it's important for us to understand because we want the dunya in our hands, we don't want the dunya in our hearts. And one of the very interesting individuals or figures in our history is Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, one of the greatest scholars of hadith, one of the scholars of the Salaf. He said, كُنَّا نَقُولُ فِي مَا مَضَى أَنَّ الْمَالَ يُكْرَهُ. He said, in the past, we used to tell people that money is something you should hate. Why did he say this? Because he comes after the time of when the Ummah had an incredible amount of wealth. During the time of Umar al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, the Muslim Ummah was swimming in wealth. There was so much money. He said, so we used to tell people, get away from the money, the money is going to corrupt you, give the money away. He said, أَمَّا الْيَوْمْ فَنَقُولُ أَنَّ الْمَالِ تُرْسَ الْمُؤْمِنِ. He said, as for today, we say that money is the shield of the believer. It protects the believers. To have money to spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build the masajid, to give da'wah, to protect the Muslims from those who want to harm them. A man came to Sufyan al-Thawri and they said, oh Sufyan, what do you say about a man? If he misses Salat al-Jama'ah and he works, he will gain a dirham. With that dirham, he will spend upon his children and his family. But if he prays jama'ah in the masjid with the congregation, he will earn less than it, and he doesn't have enough money to spend on his family. Sufyan al-Thawri said, يَكْسَبْ الدِّرْهَمْ وَيُصَلِّي وَحْدَهُ. Let him earn that dirham so he can spend on his family, and let him pray by himself. People don't imagine that a sheikh would say this. He's one of the greatest scholars in our faith because he understands you have to spend on yourself and on your family. You can't be the one asking. You have to be independent. You have to be working. This is an important thing for us to think about. When he, Sufyan al-Thawri, had some money, somebody said to him, "Oh Sufyan, you have money? Fear Allah." This same mentality. How can you, a religious person, an imam, have money in your hand? Go, you know, give it away. How dare you have money? And Sufyan said, "Iskut, falawla hadha nazala alayna al-muluk." He said, "Be quiet, for if it were not for the fact that I've earned some money, the kings would descend upon us." What does he mean by that? If we don't have money, the powers that be, like the kings, we're going to have to go to them and say, "Give us money, we don't have any money." And what are the kings going to do? I say, "Okay, I'll give you money if you do this for me, and you do this for me, and you do this for me." I don't want to be dependent on them. I want to be independent. And that's really important. We've been talking about Gaza, we've been talking about Palestine for all of these weeks. One of the things for us to understand, why did the Europeans give Palestine to the Zionists? One of the reasons is Rothschild and his wealth, one of the wealthiest families that dominate finance. Chaim Weizmann, who was the first president of Israel, invented a form of bioagriculture that the British needed for World War I. Right? The British needed things from them. When we became like the scum on the ocean, we don't have our own power. We don't have money, we don't have technologies of our own so that we can defend ourselves. Like Sufyan al-Thawri said, the shield of the Muslims. When we didn't have that, we became so weak. That's something for us to understand. So when we say we don't want to love the dunya is not our focus. We gain the dunya as a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We gain money so we spend for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so we get to Jannah. Because Jannah is our focus. But we don't say we have nothing to do with the dunya, then what does that mean? Then you get colonized. Then you become dependent on the colonizing power. Then you become the one who's weak and you ask the colonizer for support and then you have to do whatever they tell you to do. So like Sufyan is saying, we don't want to be dependent on other people. We as an ummah have to be independent. That means we earn our own money. That means we strive for our own selves. We try to be the leaders in technology, the leaders in finance, the leaders in this, the leaders in that. We have to become the leaders in order for us to gain our own independence. We're not the ones asking for handouts. And this is why when a young man came to the Prophet ﷺ, he said, I don't have any money. The Prophet said, I'm not going to give you money, you have to do something. He told him, "Do you have anything?" He said, "I have shoes." He said, "Sell your shoes," and they bought an axe. The Prophet took him up a mountain and they cut down a tree and they took the wood to the marketplace and they sold it. The Prophet taught him how to make money. And then he said a hadith after this, that a person were to climb the tree and cut the tree and sell the wood and feed their family and give sadaqah is better than if they were to ask people for money. This is a hadith of our Prophet ﷺ. So this is the mentality that we have to have when it comes to the dunya. The dunya should not dominate our hearts. We understand that this dunya is nothing compared to the akhirah. But we also understand we utilize the dunya for the sake of getting the akhirah. For the sake of building the masajid, building the Islamic schools, teaching people the da'wah of Islam, protecting the Muslims who are weak. We have to be leaders in the dunya, not because we like the dunya, are focused on the dunya, but because we want to use it as a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.